Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're tuned in to Stephanie Speaks. I'm your host, Stephanie Cosby. Hello, hello, hello. Today is Tuesday, and I think it's October 13th. You know, the days all seem to run together in this pandemic and with everything still being a little crazy, but I know that it's the day after Columbus Day, or Indigenous People Day was only yesterday. So today is Tuesday, October 13th. And today's topic is domestic violence. As you all are probably aware, or maybe you're not, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The color that usually symbolizes it is purple. So if you may see more purple around this time. If you want to talk about this, the call-in number is area code 516-531-9236. Again, the area code call-in number is, the area code is 516-531-9236. And, yes, it's Domestic Violence Month. I think the stat is 1 in 4 women is a victim of domestic violence. I really don't have the stats on men, which there are some numbers out there. I'm just not familiar, but I think it's 1 in 4 women. So, and I think it happens like every 8 seconds or 8 minutes, where probably right now somebody is going through a domestic violence situation or incident. I call it the silent killer because I too was a victim and survivor of domestic violence. Years ago, I found myself in an abusive relationship, and the first incident was a push down the stairs. We was arguing. He pushed, which I went with the age, I slipped and fell, and I kind of hurt my ankle. So, you know, we were arguing. That happened. I should have left right then, but we don't. We don't. And the next incident was I came in late from work because I had stopped and gotten dinner for us. I had gotten takeout, and he always assumed if I wasn't home by a certain time, I was out cheating. It was always I was out cheating. If I wasn't with him, if I wasn't on the phone with him, I must be up to something sneaky or sinister. So I had to have been out cheating. He would watch me. The bus line was at the end of our street, so he could literally see me get off the bus, see if I talked to anybody, see if anybody stopped me, and he would watch me walk home. So I'm coming home. I have bags. I rode the bus from downtown home. I didn't make any extra stops. The bus could have ran late that day. I don't know, but I was late, and I had a sinking feeling in my stomach that something was going to happen and it wasn't going to be good. And sure enough, I was met with the age old, "Where you been?" And I told him, not in a sarcastic way, I knew the triggers, I knew his buttons. So I told him, I got dinner. And as we sat down, I laid everything out, and we were getting ready to eat. He was coiled like a snake, and before I knew it, he had reached out, and he began to choke me. And he began to press his thumb against my larynx. And I was like, I'm going to black out. I was trying to fight him and get him to stop. I was crying, and he choked me, and he was like, "Don't lie to me. He would kill me." It was this, that, and all kind of other evil things. And what happened was once he let me go was I threw something glass at him and broke up a lot of stuff in the house. I went away from him like a wounded animal. I would not let him touch me. I would not sleep with him. I would not do anything for a while, but I was still there. That incident didn't prompt me to leave. The last and final incident was probably the one that really could have cost me my life, was we had gotten into it really, really bad. And he pulled a knife on me, and it was like a Rambo jagged hunting knife. And he was just acting crazy. He was just acting crazy, and I had to get out the house. And I just knew he was going to kill me. But I very calmly backed out the house. I had a child in my arms, and he did not stab me. I didn't want him to be a coward and stab me in the back. I faced him because I wanted him to look me in the face when he did it. I was just hoping that he did not stab my child. But I backed down the stairs and I got out and I called the police for help. And this is where it gets pretty tricky with law enforcement and these calls. First of all, it took lovely Detroit Police Department 2 hours to show up. And when they got there, they didn't really want to do anything. And it was like, I'm sitting here. I could have been dead. I call you guys, and their focus was on me pressing charges. One of the reasons why I did not press charges was because I knew about jail overcrowding. I knew him going in on a domestic, even though he had been in trouble once before. They weren't going to keep him. And like I told him, you can't protect me. I even found out that orders are protection and restraining order. It's a formality that you should go through, but it's not going to keep a person from killing you. A lot of times the police will not get involved until something happens. Usually when the something happens, it's the finale when you're dead, when they've killed you. That's the big crescendo of everything. So it's hell to get protection. I did not talk to my friends about it because I didn't want to hear how stupid I was. I knew when I bought into Calvary to maybe help me move or get out of it, I had to be ready to go and not be in that mode of I'm going back. And most of the time, women go back. You go back countless times. You usually don't eat leave on the first time. I know one woman, and that was Evelyn Lozado, off of Basketball Wives, when she was married to Ocho. And I think she said that he hit her or he did something. She left. She is the only woman that I know right then, right there, first time, I'm out. And that is what you should do. What ultimately happened was my grandfather passed and I ended up leaving the state. So I got away from the situation completely and I chose not to go back. When I really thought about everything that was in the house, I had nothing keeping me there. That was all materialistic things in that house, and I walked away. I still wasn't done with the relationship because I was still holding out hope. I had talked to him, go to rehab for your alcoholism, go get help for the domestic violence, and I will return. He would not get the help. And finally, I got tired. I got tired. It started when I found myself getting closer to God and going to church, and he accused me of messing around with the pastor. That was pretty much the last straw. So I broke it off. I just pretty much was like, don't ever call me again. He had left the state, and he was acting like life is good. And I'm thinking, you're on probation, so the minute they find you, you're going back to jail. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. So, of course, up way too late at night, internet snooping. I looked him up on the internet, and as recently as 2 years ago, he had been in jail again, mostly probation violation. I don't know if he had another domestic charge down there, but the probation is tied to drunk driving and previous domestic violence charges. I pray for whoever he's with now because it isn't going to stop. It isn't going to stop. She will get sucked in, and she may not be as lucky as me or the previous victims. And yes, it was previous victims. He told me as young as 8, he choked out a little girl in school, which that should have showed some deviant behavior right then. He put his hands on his high school girlfriend to the point her parents got her away from her. They sent her off to college to get her away from here, away from him, and be done with that relationship. And then he had a domestic violence incident that against his ex-wife that was so serious that he had supervised visit with his children. She would not let him see his children unless it is supervised because the son witnessed the incident of him holding her underwater, drowning her in the bathtub. And as the little boy told the court, he tried to put mommy's head through the closet. So it was bad. It was violent. And I didn't know any of this. I never would have gotten involved with him had I known any of this. The man I met, sure, he had some issues. Sure, he was the bad boy and a little edgy, but I never thought that he was going to put his hands on me because I wasn't doing anything. No woman deserves that, whether they're doing anything or not. But I was nothing but good and supportive and trying to help him. When he would be drunk and they're about to throw him out of the club, I would go and get him, whether I had to bum a ride, drive somebody's car, take a cab, do whatever I had to do to get him so they wouldn't hurt him. And this just kept on and on. So for him to do that to me was just a bit much. I mean, I just stayed quiet. I was withdrawn. I knew not to stay anywhere any long. I toned my dress down a lot. I did not want men talking to me when we was out in public because it was just not going to be good. If he was drinking, that was a recipe for disaster. He was a very mean drunk. And I have a scar on me to this day. Actually, it's on my arm. He cut me. And he cut me to say that it symbolized that we was married, and we was married because we mixed blood, because he cut himself too. The only reason I didn't jump up is I was scared out of my mind at this point. And I would just like to say to the ladies out there, it does not get better. It only get worse. Don't listen to the apologies, because it will always be apology up until the day you're dead, and it will still be, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to kill you or I didn't mean to kill her. It's always going to be, I'm sorry. So don't believe it. People can change, but don't be so quick to run back, and you need to see effective change. And most of the time that doesn't happen. So that's what I would like to tell my ladies. That's my story about domestic violence. And like I said, we should be aware all month, not just not October, but since this is 1 month, to really pay attention. Pay attention. There was recently a murder-suicide, I believe, in Michigan, where a lady met up with the ex-husband to talk about something, and she was in the process of leaving him. They say that little window period is a very dangerous time. That's how I got caught up. I had left him one time after a violent incident and went and stayed for about a week or a couple of weeks, and he begged, I want my family back home. I want you guys back home. And my child wasn't here, by the way. But, you know, he thought that we was his family. And he begged and begged and begged. And I went back, but it wasn't the same. It was like I was on pins and needles with him. And like, almost like, if you F up one more time. So the knife incident was the incident. And like I said, it took God having to take my grandfather for me to see the silver lining to get out of that mess. So I am thankful for that. On to a little other stuff and maybe some news. It's exactly 3 weeks before the election. Even though elections are going on now, as far as election day, it is exactly 3 weeks, 21 days. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a hard-fought 21 days. It's messy. It's everywhere you go, you're seeing more and more support for him. I'm not being comfortable. I'm not reading too much into the polls and the tea leaves. I just want him out of office. I want COVID-45 out of office. I want somebody in here who can manage this virus and where I won't have to be scared of whether me or my family members is possibly going to die from it. I'm sick of the anti-maskers. I'm over them. Don't wear a mask and just deal with it. Just deal with it. I'm not fussing anymore. I'm just through with it. I recently returned back to work, and I have been a bundle of nerves without the whole process, because I just feel like that it's just ridiculous to be out here having to work during a pandemic. I'm sorry. In my nature of work, people do not know how to stay home. They do not get the concept of get and go. They just do not understand the seriousness of it, because they don't take it serious. So that's where we are in this. People don't take things serious. On that note, it's winding down. A little safety precaution out there besides wear your mask. My loved ones yesterday was almost killed in a car accident. Stop running red lights. If you're running late somewhere, you're already late, but you're not going to get there any sooner by taking out the life of someone else. Someone ran the red light and broadsided them. Thank God that they're still here. Stop running red lights. Wear your mask. Be safe. To the next time, love one another. Bye-bye.